James chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, please. James chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. If you're real fast, you'll beat me there. James chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. I'm just going to give you a heads up, because what's going to happen is I'm just going to talk and explain every one of these verses, not explain, kind of go into and point a few things out, and then after eight pages of this stuff, we'll get to the point. It's called exegesis. Sounds good, but you'll sometimes it's kind of a yawn. Here it is. Just giving you a warning. James 1, 11 through 13. For the sun rises with scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away. Blessed is the man who preserves under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. So, to reiterate, big word, 50 cents, cost me that much, I'll give it to you guys for free. Verse 11, the sun rises and its scorching wind withers the grass and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuit, will fade away. What he's doing will fade away. But the important thing is to notice that it's the man is pursuing his own ways. Let's call him Richie. The rich man is going about things that he wants, and he's trying to secure wealth, or it could be fame, or it could be fortune, whatever. He's just trying to secure this so that he's got more than anybody else. He's got a big pile of whatever, you know, cash, gold, diamonds, and he's sitting right on top of it going, yes, I've done this, and it's all mine. But what the Scripture says is that the sunshine will come, and that just means hard times. And we've all been through drought around here. Back in 53, there was a tremendous drought, so bad that the leaves fell off the tree in the 1st of July, and they never came back until the next spring. That was a bad drought. It also happened to be the year I was born. I don't know if there's a connection, but Mom always said there was. We've all been through these scorching times, and all that he's trying to get at is he's saying, here's these people out there scrambling around trying to amass a fortune so that, one, they can say, I win, I've got more than anybody else. Look, you have to honor me and do everything I say because I've got money to throw around, and I can buy and sell anything I want, and I expect respect from you because I've got cash. I have wealth. But the sun comes out. Hard times. And that just means that all that cash can go away. If you guys don't remember the year 2008 when the banks started collapsing, all the trillions of dollars that just disappeared, just like that. It was no more. People were losing money all over the place. Riches, and that effort is burnt away, saying just in a matter of moments, the wealth that some people have amassed is going, gone. And these people that have worked so hard are so distraught that they don't know what to do. I mean, they are just terrified. They've lost it all. They've staked their entire life and their life happiness on cash, on wealth. As an aside to that, you might not have noticed, a local banker has said, and it's not in this county even, but a local banker pointed out that in the 48 years that he's worked in the banking system, he's never seen it so hard on the farmers as it is right now. The local banks aren't loaning so much out to the farmers like they used to. Instead, it's going to big hedge fund type groups where they pile all this debt together and you borrow, and these people that have been loaning the money out are starting to withdraw, and they're calling for those debts to be paid. Not payments, but to be paid. And the banker said nationwide that this is the worst event among farmers that he has seen in 48 years. And he went on to say, and I did see headlines in this, but it just didn't register with me, that more farmers are being depressed emotionally. They're losing it, and they don't know what to do. There are more divorces going on because the farmers and their wives don't know what to do, and they're in this state of depression and rub, and how come we don't have the money, and you know, and it's just, and they're divorcing, and families are splitting up over it. And there is a higher rate of suicide right now among farmers. So if you want to pray for somebody, pray for the farmers, not just locally, but all across the United States, because they're thinking that grain prices are going to drop. And so these hedge fund managers, or the people that are loaning the money out, are wanting their money to cover everything. And the farmers are the one that's getting caught in the lurch. And the managers don't care. They don't know these people. They just want their money. And so the scorch is coming to some of the farmers, maybe even locally. So be praying for these people. But that's the way it is with riches. You don't really know when it's going to be called in, and you're going to lose everything. That's the way it is with rich people. But there is verse 12. Blessed is the man who preserves under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. He has promised to those who love him that if you endure during the time of hardship, during the time of trials, during the time of tribulation, if you will endure that, he will bless you. He will bless you because of your endurance. And your endurance is this: I trust God, and I'm standing by faith with him. I am there with God because he said that he would see me through good times and bad times. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He has even said that, one of the scriptures says that they have never seen the children of the righteous go hungry. So the person, even if they're a farmer or a former rich person who had amassed some wealth, and a drought comes through, they're still standing there and going, I stand by my God. He will see me through this. The person is depending on God and not the wealth, but the richy rich type person is in a state because he's losing everything he ever owned, all things he worked for. Now, there is something we do need to read, and it is, or understand, it is Satan is the one who brings this temptation. It's Satan is the one who is testing us. It's not the Lord, but it's Satan who's trying to cause us to crumble. He's trying to cause us to trip up and fall. And it's not just fall. He's wanting us to fall away from God. He's wanting us to say, I don't believe God's going to take care of me. Therefore, I'm going to back away. Therefore, I'm not going to trust God and continue to follow the good shepherd. I'm going to get depressed. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to commit suicide. But a Christian who's committed, good times or bad, no matter how hard it gets, you say, I am going to stand with God. Because a person who stands with God can look at the drought, can look at the trials, can look at the tribulations, and say, I know that this situation is temporary. Even if I lose everything, just like Job lost everything, it's temporary, and God promised that if I hang in there with him, he will bless me. God doesn't lie. So our expression of endurance is this: I don't trust in my wealth, I trust in my God. I don't trust in the riches that just passed away from me, even if it's a fortune, I don't trust in that. God said if I stay with him, he will come back and he will bless me. God himself, you see, isn't trying to raise crops. He's not trying to amass wealth. He's not trying to get fame. What he is trying to grow, create, or bring about in a Christian is Christian character. He wants us to stand in faith and say, I trust my God. I trust Christ. And he wants us to grow. That's his desire toward us. So he's saying, if you will trust me in these hard times, I promise that I will be there with you. It's our chance. Our chance. We say, yeah, I trust God. I've got faith. Well, when the drought hits, it's our chance to demonstrate that we actually do have faith, that we actually trust in our God. And as we see it slip away, stand there and say, Vio con Dios. I trust God. It's not easy. That's why it's called trial. It's not fun. That's why it's called tribulation. It's a chance for us to express faith and trust in our God and say, I know that God is okay and I still have God. And while this is inconvenient, it'll be okay. And we will grow in character. There's a farmer over at Clay City. This is one of my good stories. There's a farmer at Clay City, and it was a hard season that year. And the crops weren't doing well, and the planting was late, and things were stunted. And he walked in, and I said, hey, how's it going? And he said, you know, crops are failing. It's hot. It's dry. It's miserable. And then he says, but you know what? It's going to be all right. It's always all right because there's a God and He always takes care of His kids. I'm going to be all right. And I went, wow. Everybody else has been griping, complaining, and moaning, and groaning. But this guy was a Christian. And he said, times are tough. It's going to be all right. Even if he loses it, it's going to be all right. And because of that faith, it says that God will give those people a crown of life. Now, crowns are something that we put on people's head and people will say, something special going on. They got a crown on their head. That's why you go to Burger King, get them paper crowns, right? That's why I go. You put the crown on your head and everybody looks at me. Maybe not for the same reason, but you know, you got a crown on your head and people's going, there's something special with this person. There's something. Queen for a day, king for a day, whatever. You put something on your head and people will notice that. And God's saying, when you endure, when you trust me, I'm going to put a crown of life on your head. And people's going to know there's something special about you, something interesting, something marvelous. And He's going, I'm going to put this on you. And people's going to say, wow. Even if they don't see a literal crown on your head, they're going to look at you and say, that person's different. And the reason we're different is we don't trust in riches. We trust in God. And after we prove that we really trust Him and we're not caving in, but we're walking with Christ, then He says, all right, Satan, leave. You failed miserably again. Here's your crown. Go off and enjoy life. And I'll be there with you. It's a crown of life. It's not a crown of misery. It's not a crown saying, I've suffered and I've suffered and I've suffered and God wants me to suffer and I'm there suffering and it's okay, I'm willing to suffer. He says, no, this is to get you to grow in character and in grace and in knowledge. And then I want you to go out and live a life identifying the greatness of Christ. Now in verse 13 it says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. So when something evil is happening in your life, don't think that that source is coming from God. Rather, that evil is coming from the devil himself. And remember, he's trying to crush us, he's trying to grind us down, and he's trying to wear us out. That is what he does. But when we walk in faith, when we walk in trust, he's saying, I'm there with you. And that's the whole point. Jump back over to Matthew chapter 11. This is how we manage to get through those times. Matthew 11:28, one little verse. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's saying, come unto me. If you're getting crushed, if you're getting ground down, if you're getting wore out, come to me. Because my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. Make a mental note of this. If something's going on in your life, and it is burdensome, it's crushing you, it's pushing you down, it's not something that Jesus gave you. It's got to be from Satan.
And what he's saying is, come to me.
Another place it says, roll all your cares off onto Jesus, for he cares for you.
Come to me, and I will be there with you. When our times are tough, we need to learn to lean in to Christ and say, okay, Christ, this is a terrible time in my life. I'm having real problems, and I know those problems aren't from you. So I'm needing you to help me.
We need to pray to God, pray to Jesus at those moments, and lean in. When we're leaning in, say this: Jesus, I trust you because, one, you've already conquered it. When you went to the cross, you bore all of my failures and all of my temptations, and I'm leaning into you because you said, come to me, and here I am. You have already won this battle, and you said that it's temporary. I will come out, and I'm going to be special, and I'm going to have this crown of life. I'm going to end up enjoying my life because you've already managed to go through it. And so help me to endure because it's temporary. I know it's going to go away, and I'm trusting you. Even if you lose absolutely everything that you have and own, don't worry about it. Don't stress, because He is able to deliver you. He is there. He's already carried your burden. He's already went through all your trials and problems. Say something like, Jesus, I've written this down, Jesus, you've conquered this. This will pass. I will be blessed. I will endure because I trust you. I will get a crown of life. I will get special recognition because of who you are. Amen. Now, there's another little verse I just want to just give you a quick synopsis of. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. And at the end of it, it says, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. You can look that up and read it. It's not an exact quote, but that's what it's stating. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. When we're leaning into Him, He's going to say, all right, we're going to get through this today. We're going to come through this, and you're going to be all right, and I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to help you with problem, and He will supply you. Notice I'm leaning over. He will supply you with the power, the strength to endure through this. He will give you that strength. And as you're leaning over there, not only will He give you the strength, He'll also supply you with the wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and apply it. He will give you the wisdom to see the way out sometimes. He will give you the wisdom to step forward. And sometimes He'll just say, it's time to walk away from this because what's happened is it's a disaster. Trust me and I will give you more than what you thought is a possibility. But remember, the prosperity talked about in the Bible isn't cash-based. It's life-based. He wants us to have good lives. He wants us to have that crown of life, to wear that specialness in front of people and say, it is Jesus Christ, and He has made me prosperous, and my life is good because of Him. And we would be able to testify then to other people and say, look, I went through this disaster, and I became penniless, yet look at me now. God is blessing me, keeping me, and He is walking with me, and it's going to be all right. Examples are like Job. And if you read about millionaires, you'll find that a lot of millionaires have made millions, have lost millions, have made more millions, have lost more millions, and then made a few more million. Once you make your first million, you realize it ain't so hard to make a million. It's out there. You can do it. Lean into Christ, and He'll give you the power. Some of us don't need to be millionaires. Don't need it. We need wisdom. Lean into Him. He'll give you the wisdom you need in order to live that life and to enjoy your life. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you accomplished on the cross. Father, if there's any person here like me who has a burden, we're leaning into you right now, Jesus, and we're saying, we trust you. Give us the power and give us the wisdom to get through this and endure this wisdom, and help us to see that Jesus is the one. And we know that it's not from Him because this isn't a light burden. It's a hard burden. So we know it's not of you, it's of Satan. And therefore, we will endure and we will be blessed. Thank you for that promise of victory because you've already won it.
Thank you so much, Jesus. We trust you in Jesus' name. God, we love you. Amen.